So, how are we today? Are we good? Are we ready for part two of hearing the voice of God? Oh, that was like really weak. Okay, we're gonna rewind and do this again. So, are we ready for part two of hearing the voice of God? Much better. You're gonna be doing that in a couple hours when the Titans are there. You got guacamole all over you, you're screaming, and so I thought I'd get it out of you now a little bit. So for those of you that are visiting with us, we're just doing a simple two-part series. Pastor Steve will be back in the pulpit next week. We've been talking about how to hear the voice of God. And as I said before, I am not an expert in this field. I'm still a kindergartner learning myself, but it's been a journey I've been on for 44 years now. And something for me to learn and to grow, and I continue to learn and grow. But can I just tell you, this is key. This is key. Without it, you know, you're kind of wandering around out there trying to do this, you know, trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. So when you ask the questions, Lord, what do you want me to do? Which one should I choose? When should I do it? Where do you want me? You end up just kind of, here's hoping. And when I read my Bible, there's none of that there. It's God says, I want to lead and guide you. And he shows us how he guides his people. Israel in the Old Testament, how he guides his people in the New Testament. So this isn't a here's hoping what I'm doing is what God's wanting. No, you can know and you can do. And so that's what we've been talking about. Now last week, for those of you that weren't able to be here, let me just give you like a quick 5-minute review. So we talked about three things. One is that God desires to speak to his people. All right, and this is one of the portions we looked at, John chapter 10. The sheep hear my voice, this is Jesus. He calls his own sheep by name, which means he knows you, and he leads them out. When he's brought all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they won't follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, relationship, and they follow me. And we talked about how hearing the voice of God is really, just like summarizing it, it's about two things. One is friendship with God, and the other is following or fellowship, so that we can have friendship with him, but we can also follow his lead. That's two reasons that God wants us to be able to hear his voice. So we looked at a chunk load of scripture on that last week. And again, you can watch the videos, download the notes on that. Secondly, we talked about remembering who it is that's speaking to you, and we created a frame to help us take a look at this. Now, oftentimes we end up thinking that God is our backpack buddy. And he's just stuffed in our backpack and we need a little help from our friend. We pull him out, get a little help, and then we cram him back in until we call upon him next time. And we've got to move away from that kind of thinking. The one we started with is the one you see there on the top. First of all, we have to realize God is holy and he needs to be feared above all else. And one of the problems that we have in our nation, and therefore in the churches in our nation, is we have lost this. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. God is absolutely love. Are we to love? Absolutely. God is love. But do you understand in the scriptures, when people approach God, love was not the first thing that they encountered. It wasn't the first thing. The first thing was his holiness. Like just off the top of my head, three scriptures. Moses. When Moses shows up and there's the burning bush and God calls him, he doesn't say, Moses, I love you so much. No, he said, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. When Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah dies, sees the Lord and he's high and lifted up, the thing that he hears the angel saying is not love, love, love. It's holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord God Almighty who was and isn't, is to come. And his response was, he says, woe is me, I am undone. And that's the word that means disintegrated. The last book of the Bible, Revelation, when John sees Jesus and it says his face is shining as bright as sun at noonday, he said, I fell down as a dead man. And one of the things that we've lost is this, and this needs to be first. Why? Because it's how we see God's encountering people. Let me just tell you something. If you just focus on love, is love biblical? Is God love? Yes, 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 yes. But if you just focus on love, without truth, without obedience, without this, it leads to what's called lawlessness. Can I just tell you that's where our land is? Because no, you just need to love. You don't judge, you just love. It leads to lawlessness. And when you just focus on, no, we gotta obey God, we gotta do that so God loves us, that's performance, and that can become legalism by itself, not tethered. See, we got these four things up here because they're all tethered together. There's a dynamic, godly, biblical tension that all four of these play a role at the same time, like only God can do. But what happens is we like to carve them out because I prefer love, or I prefer truth. Why am I not hearing people saying, I prefer holiness? This is something we got to get a handle on, friends. Because as the body of Christ, we need to model this. It's not about, well, you cut that slice out. No, it's about all of it. And so as we're talking about how we approach God, if we want to hear his voice, we've got to remember who it is we're talking to. It's not just this, he's the man upstairs. Kind of just get rid of that language. He's not just the man upstairs. He is the Lord God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's not just the man upstairs who's available to me when I need him to come down and fix my sink. But that's what it sounds like. So we looked at that, and then we also tethered it with Father. He's a Father in heaven who absolutely adores you and wants to lead you and share his life with you. He's also a shepherd who longs to guide you. And he's a friend who walks beside you. He's all those things at once. And so when we're talking to God and we're seeking God, we've got to remember who it is we're talking to and not pass by his way flippantly. Are you tracking with me? Yes. Jeremy, are you tracking with me? Yes. Thank you. All right. Third, we looked at cultivating a hearing heart. Like the problem I run into in my life and when I talk with others is, you know, am I cultivating a hearing heart, a heart that hears? Like, do you know when God's speaking to you? Have you cultivated? See, this is why pastors and youth pastors and women's Bible study leaders, we all harp on have a quiet time. Like, have time in the Word, have time in prayer, have time in worship alone. Yeah, but I don't have the band here. That doesn't matter. God loves it when you just worship him alone. But see, what that does is it gets my tuner right. So that when I leave the doors, kiss Cheryl goodbye, I head out for the day, my antennae are up and they're ready to be open in case God wants to drop something on me. Do you do that? Or do you just have, you know, you read your Bible, you close it, and then, you know, you go out from your quiet time and just say, it's kind of like saying, Jesus, I love you so much. Just stay here the next 24 hours and I'll be back. And that's kind of our mentality. He said, no, I don't. I live in you. I want to explode in you and through you. But see, we've got to cultivate a hearing heart. When I was 18 years of age, I began to learn this. I had people that took the time that taught me. How do you cultivate a hearing heart? So we looked at the parable of the sower in Mark 4. And there's four kinds of hearts there. It's the seed is sown, all right? The hearers and the seed sown. So the first one is a hard heart. And the reason it's a hard heart, it's a path that the seed was sown on is hard. Why? Because, you know, when you have a path like to your backyard or something, it's hard. Why? Because you walk over it tons of times. And so the seed, the word lands there, something God wants to say to you. And then it says, because it doesn't have the ability to go in, the enemy tries to quickly steal it from you. For some of you, you might go, holy moly, that's exactly what's been happening to me. We don't want to be hard of hearing. The second one we looked at was a shallow heart. The shallow heart is the one that says when the word is sown, it immediately springs up with joy. That's awesome, I'm excited. But then it says when persecution and tribulations come, wah, 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 it's gone. It's gone. There's no longer the saying, God said this, I'm standing here as the waves are breaking over you instead of standing here and saying, blessed be God. No, it's like... And because it's shallow, there's no root to let it take. Have you cultivated a shallow heart? And that's why it ain't going in. How about this third one? A crowded heart. A crowded heart. This is what it says. Is this one is, is sown. It says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things choke it. I wonder how many times God has shown you to do something, but the cares of this world, oh my gosh, I'd love to do it, but I can't. The deceitfulness of riches, which talks about where our hearts are pursuing. And the desires for other things. Choke it. And then there's the fruitful heart, which hears it, accepts it, and then it says 30, 60, 100 times fruit. That if you hear what God's saying, you accept it, you embrace it, you begin to walk in obedience to it, fruitfulness begins to come from your life. So this is what we looked at last week, all right? Now what I want to do today is I want to talk about seven different ways that God speaks to us, all right? And they're kind of like umbrellas, categories of ways. But before I do that, let me give you a story and then a thought here to help us capture these seven ways. And then at the very end, we'll talk about how do I know? How can I confirm it's got, you know, some of that stuff. So when Cheryl and I met, got married in Hawaii. We lived there with an organization called Youth with a Mission. And we were missionaries, and we met and got married there. And when I was 25 years of age, we moved back with our new son, Ryan, who's now 31. He was 6 months old then. And we moved back in December from Hawaii to Minnesota. Just catch that. So it was either the will of God or I was an idiot. So I'm really hoping for the first, all right? So Cheryl and I, literally, we felt like the Lord was leading us back there. Well, it gets cold there. So I remember one Super Bowl Sunday, right after we got back, and we're bundling Ryan up, and Sean and I are getting bundled, and the guy on the radio says this, hey, make sure you bundle up right now, because right now with a wind chill, it's 100 degrees below zero. Cheryl always has said when she can tell when it's cold that when she breathes in, her nose hairs freeze, and if she breathes out, they thaw. It feels like that. For real. Try it sometime. You might like it, all right? So that's the environment we're living in. Well, we were, my grandfather and grandmother were farmers, northern Minnesota farmers, and mom and dad were living on their property. Grandpa had gone to heaven, and they were tending grandma. And we lived, it's about 2 miles away, maybe a mile and a half away, but you know, the farm lands up there are, you know, spread apart, so they're like, they were our neighbors, but a couple miles away. And I remember driving in one day to the driveway, it was probably like 100 to 150 yards long, into grandma and grandpa's place, where mom and dad were. And as I'm driving in, I'm not thinking about anything in particular, but I had this impression, just out of the blue, this, make sure you get fuel today. It was just there. It was just there. And, you know, in our basement of this old farmhouse was like a 200, 300 gallon, you know, place where you'd stick the fuel that would heat your home. And it just was so random, but it was clear to me. I didn't hear it here. It was just in here. It was just there. How when God speaks, it's just not always in a sentence. It's just kind of there, and you see it. Boom. So I make note of that. Well, the next morning, Cheryl rolls over and says, honey, it's cold in here. And so I get up, you know, freezing my buns off, and I go over to the thermostat, and it's like 30 below outside and 29 below inside, you know? And I stood there realizing, I heard from God. I heard from him. You guys have stories just like that, the situations and circumstances, but where on the back end you went, that was God, right? See, what we want to learn is, how do I observe that on the front end so I can obey that thing? Not just on the back end, go, that was awesome, God spoke to me. You know, in Minnesota, you call and they get the people out right away, so we were fine, but it's like, you want to learn to pay attention. You want to learn to pay attention when God's speaking to you. How does he speak to us? Now, when I teach this in settings where I have a long time doing this, I have a whiteboard up here, and I'll just usually say, hey, how in our world today do we communicate ideas and thoughts, you know, and information? And we end up with a list of about 40 or 50, but they include things like this. Conversations, texting, emailing, books, TV, radio, YouTube, graphic design, websites, video calls, songs, movies, artwork, signs, billboards, ads, stoplights. When I fly in from traveling, there's the air the air landing lights. They're communicating without saying a word. Hand signals. Like last night, I was at the UT game. And they broke a record last night for decibels. 114. They said it's like standing 200 feet away from a jet engine. I mean, I told Cheryl this morning, for the first time in my life, I heard my ears cracking. And I had to twice go like this, okay. Making noise myself, you know. But there was communication going on. We're with you. See, there's lots of ways we can communicate. There was hand signals to the quarterbacks. There wasn't one word exchanged, but they knew clearly what they were asking them to do. So you get my point. We communicate in dozens upon dozens upon dozens of ways. Ideas, information, concepts, truth, stories. I want you to understand that's how God does this too. So when we say hearing the voice of God, I don't want you to just think audible voice or it goes in my ears. No, it's living life with God and watching how he's communicating with you. Are you with me? Yes. Don't you give me a cheap answer. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so let's begin to talk about what some of those are like. All right, the first one is through the scriptures. Not a big surprise. You know this, through the scriptures. Look at what 2 Timothy 3 says. All scripture is breathed out by God, has his life in it, and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God speaks through the scriptures, so we're equipped for everything that he calls us to do. Look at Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is in it, written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. So in other words, the idea is, whether it's, okay, it's the morning hours or the night hours, the spirit of this is that you're referencing the scriptures in light of what you do in life. Like if you're buying a company, you're a company buying a company, are you referencing the truth of scriptures and how that transaction should happen? I would submit most people have never been discipled to even think that way. It's my church Bible life is over here and my business is over here. That's not what a follower of Jesus does. A follower of Jesus walks with Jesus throughout his day or her day. I like what my friend Steve Fry says. He says, Jesus doesn't want to be first in your life. He has no interest in being first in your life. He wants to be central. Because first means we go, okay, Jesus, then family or health. If I'm not healthy, I can't be with my family, health, job, no, recreation. Jesus is not interested in being first. He wants to be like a tire. He wants to be central into every area of your life. Amen. And so if you've been thinking the Jesus first thing, kick that one out. It's not, Jesus is not interested in being first. He wants to be central, a part of everything in your life. He wants to walk with you throughout everything in your life and be a part of that. And that's an important thing. Jesus and the Apostle Paul referenced the scriptures a lot. All right, take note of this. Jesus referenced 49 different Old Testament verses in the Gospels. Psalms, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, and Exodus represent the books that he liked to draw upon most. Okay, some of them were quoting about his coming and who he was, other things he was teaching. But he referenced it. He didn't just make decisions randomly, he referenced it. And check this out, the Apostle Paul quotes or paraphrases 100 Old Testament passages, not including the dozens of references to people, places, and events in the Old Testament. And if you're a believer that Paul authored the book of Hebrews, then you can tack on an additional 83 in that book alone. And so there's a referencing. Do you try to listen to God through the scriptures? Let me show you a quick example of what they did here in Acts chapter 1. This is after Judas, you know, has betrayed Jesus and hangs himself. They reference what they should do in the scriptures. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but a piece of it here. So here's what they say. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who's accompanied us during all the time of the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. And the bottom line is they appoint someone to take Judas's place. But what they were doing is referencing the scriptures for what they were to be doing. Okay? God speaking to them through the scriptures. Do you do that? Or do you just kind of go out and do what you want and ask God to bless it? It's just, that's not there. That's not biblical. That's not biblical thinking. Jesus leads, we follow, he blesses what he initiates. What you initiate, guess who has to sustain it? God may be the one trying to crush it, and you're there either with all your might holding the thing up or trying to breathe life into something that you never initiated, and God's actually the one collapsing. It's not the devil, it's God. Because he's saying, son, daughter, I love you so much, I want you to get on to what I'm asking you to do, not what you're asking me to bless that is your good idea. Huge. For some of you, we might just need to close in prayer and let you think on that one for a while. Because it's quite shocking to realize how much I've never even waited on the Lord about this stuff. I just ask him to bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. We forget who it is that we're referencing. He's the Lord, I'm not. I follow his lead. So we can hear the word can be read to us, we can sing the word, study it, reflect on it. Now, always remember when you're reading the Bible, you take things in context. You always have to say, okay, what context was this in? That's just wise Bible interpreting, keeps you solid. There's also times, however, the Lord will personalize something for you from the word. Like if you're reading in your devotions and it's like, you know, you're wondering if you should do this or that, and all of a sudden you run across your daily, and you're just going, oh my gosh, and it goes, wah, and it screams at you. Well, that's the Holy Spirit going, this is that. And he speaks. But if you're not in the word, guess what? You never get to see that stuff. So let me tell you about the first time this happened to me. Blew me away. All right? So let me set it up before I show you the verse. So I'm 18 years old, and I finish a training school with Youth of the Mission, and our outreach is to the World Cup soccer games in 1978 in Argentina. I'm 18 years old, just fresh out of high school. And so we're all, but they said, hey, you need to get a word of the Lord if God wants you to go on this trip. Because see, if God's spoken to you, then he's going to provide and he's going to open doors. If it's just kind of like throwing darts, I wonder, you can't walk in confidence that way of God. So everybody in my school of about 35 or 40 people, they all know they're supposed to go except me. I'm the one that can't hear. Hee-haw, you know, I'm that guy. And so, you know, the school leaders are very kind with me. And hey, Dave, just take the next week or two, see what the Lord's saying. We got a little time before we got to buy air tickets and blah, blah, blah. And nothing. I'm getting nothing. So backdrop, about 3 or 4 months before this, I was on a different outreach and I was at Konawina High School, one of the local high schools. And God showed up and the homecoming queen and the football player and the drug addict, they all get saved. And there's like a little revival move of God happening. And I'm shepherding this thing. And I'm just kind of, after my school, I'm hitchhiking the 12 miles up, which is kind of a common thing in Hawaii, up to where the school was. And I'd meet them when they were out of school and disciple them and shepherd them and pour into them. Well, the two leaders that I was with were wise enough to say, well, Dave, let's just ask the Lord. Are you supposed to go to Argentina or are you supposed to stay here and continue shepherding these high school kids? Is that why you're not hearing anything? I said, I don't know. So we do kind of what Cheryl and I make a habit of doing when we try to hear from the Lord is we first say, Lord, is there anything in my heart that's not right? And is there sin? Because if there is, it clogs my hearing. So we confess our sin. Then secondly, we say, I lay aside my own thoughts and imaginations in Jesus' name. I resist the devil in Jesus' name and silence you and say, you don't have any influence for this child of God to speak to me right now. And instead, I just say, God, so guess whose voice is left? You go, Dave, that's too simple. Childlike. We've got to be children. So that's what we do with these two leaders and me, these two men of faith and power and me, 18-year-old. I don't know what to do. So we wait on the Lord, and you guys, God drops in my heart a portion of scripture I had never read before. But I was just quiet like this. I was really, you know, get an answer. And I just heard Ezekiel 34. Let's pull this up. And so this is what I see, God personalizing. And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. Like, that's my name. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, that's my name, shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Yeah. 18 years old. And I'm going, you know. And Dave and Tim, who were praying with me, they're like, I guess it's clear, you're not going to Argentina, you're staying right here. Well, what I didn't know then that I can tell you now is for the next 6 years, I shepherded high school kids on the Big Island of Hawaii on about 10 high school campuses. And the Lord was saying, I don't want you to go there. I want you to stay right here and build on what I'd done. And these leaders were wise enough not to cram me into, no, you need to go to our, you need it, like everybody else. They were wise enough to say, let's find out what God's saying and obey. Isn't that amazing? And so in the kindness of Jesus, he said, I'm going to make sure you don't miss it. All right? So through the scriptures. The second one is through impressions from the Holy Spirit. Like, now, again, I don't know how many of you have thought about this. Remember, my heritage is Lutheran. So I grew up loving the Word of God and being told the way God speaks is through the Word. That's awesome. Totally 100% accurate. But the thing I didn't realize and I didn't put together till later was this. Do you understand that, see, the Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that's outside of Scripture. He'll never ask you to do something like that. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But one of the things that you have to realize is like the New Testament dudes and dudettes in the book of Acts, when Jesus ascended to heaven, they didn't all go running down to the Jerusalem Christian bookstore or order online a Bible. They referenced the Old Testament when they were gathered together. But the day-to-day, they were dependent on following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Because they didn't have, hey, let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. It wasn't there. It wasn't written yet. And when you just give yourself a read through the book of Acts, you see the solid place of the scriptures that they stand on, but you equally see them following the lead of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It's not either or, it's both and. And one of the things that I think we've not been taught, you know, oftentimes in our journeys, like I wasn't in mine, is how do you pay attention to that? How do you pay attention when the Holy Spirit's kind of putting the elbows in the rib? Because he wants you to be able to hear. So let's look at this. All right, Isaiah 30, verse 21, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. In Acts chapter 8, check this out. We've got the angel of the Lord coming to Philip, and he says, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. He rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah, which he didn't get from the Christian bookstore either. He would have gotten this from attending, you know, a service at the synagogue, and because he was a leader, they probably gave this to him. So look what happens. Note this, underlined. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. That's all. That's all he said. So Philip ran. I love his obedience. Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, notice the wheels are now turning on the chariot. They're moving. They came to some water and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? He'd obviously heard about this. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. This all started by the Holy Spirit saying, go up to that chariot. I wonder if you've ever heard the Lord say, go talk to her. Do you know that the cool thing about this story is this launched a church plant in Ethiopia that began to take Ethiopia for God? Never despise what you think. Like, why didn't he say, Philip, hark low. I'm going to taketh thee over to thy chariot, and thou shalt speaketh the word of the Lordeth, and the Ethiopianeth will repenteth and followeth. Probably because God doesn't have a lispeth, all right? So here's the deal. I want you to understand, because he obeyed, go up to the chariot, a nation was changed. Now, I want to say to you, don't despise that little word from God, because you never know that little word of go up to the chariot, go talk to him, go talk to her, may change a nation. We need to pay attention when those kinds of impressions come to us. I had to do that this week. I had to make a decision on something, and I had to pay attention to the impressions the Lord was putting in my heart. Let me tell you the first time this really challenged me in my life. So I was speaking in Mission Viejo, California. I was 20 years old, working with a youth group there. I had flown from Hawaii and speaking at a youth group. The very end of the youth group, a man from Tulsa, a friend of mine named Tom came up to me, and I just met him at that point. And he said, hey, Dave, would you come to Tulsa and speak to our church? Well, I just said, well, sure. So I go back to my friend Mike's house that night where I'm saying, I could point to you the exact door frame. I was just there in August, staying in his home, and I could show you the exact door frame that I remember walking through, and I walked through into that door frame that night, and as I was closing the door, I heard the Lord just put in my heart, you didn't ask me. So I got on my knees right there by the bed, and I repented. I said, Lord, please forgive me a presumptuous sin. And I said, do you want me to go? And he said, yes. And so for me, I went, well, what is that? Well, I knew what it was. Is he was teaching a young man to be dependent on his God. Amen. And here's the other thing. Not every open door is a door you're supposed to go through. And not every closed door is a door you walk away from. Do you realize that if people, followers of Jesus, walked away from closed doors of nations that said, you cannot bring the gospel here, the gospel would have never got there. I'm going to share with you a story a little later on today about that. So just because it's open doesn't mean you're supposed to go running through it. And just because it's closed doesn't mean you walk away. That's where God ought to remember. He wants relationship. He wants to tell you. He wants to tell you. So you go and you ask him. So Lord, so that's what that was about. Because at first I was like, well, what's the deal? I already said yes. And it was like, Lord, Dave, that's not the deal. I want you to be dependent on me for your guidance, not dependent on just opportunities. Just let that soak in a minute. How many of us, just because a door opens, it's an opportunity, we think we run through it. And then later, you just wish, I would have never done it. And it's because you didn't wait on the Lord and say, Jesus, is this a door you want me to go through? And is this the timing? See, it's all about relating to Jesus. It's not just God putting a rubber stamp and blessing what we do. He wants to have a relationship with you and talk to you. Are you with me? Thank you. Okay. The third one, through waiting on God. Okay, so we got the scriptures, we got impressions from the Holy Spirit, and again, we could share tons of stories if we had the time. But through waiting on God, now check this out. The first one is through waiting on God in prayer. Luke 6, this is Jesus. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. Jesus didn't just go, I kind of like Peter. And what the heck, bring your brother Andrew. He didn't do that. He prayed all night. He waited on God. Now, when I say waiting on God, I mean this two ways. One is waiting on God is positioning yourself in a place of quiet to let God speak to you. Waiting on God is also you living your life but paying attention to when and how and what he's saying to you. Not just pressing ahead because I think it's a good idea. Trust me, I've been there. That's called a swing and a miss, all right? You don't want to go there. So one of the things that Cheryl and I do to practice this is we have what we call prayer retreats. Prayer retreats. And we get away for a couple of days. It might be a day, might be two, might even be three. Rare three, but sometimes. And we might, like, for example, drive down to Chattanooga. Cheryl likes this because she gets to go out to eat. Yes? Yes. She didn't have to fix a meal, so we'll drive down to Chattanooga. Like, for example, one time we went to Chattanooga, we drove down on a Sunday afternoon. You know, it's an hour and 45 minutes. We got there, we took a nap, went out to eat, and then we start the first night always by asking this question, Lord, is there anything in our heart that's not right here with you or with each other? Keeps our walk and this walk clean before God. Then after breakfast the next morning, we'll take a chunk of time, a couple of hours, and we'll focus maybe on our kids. Like when our kids were in our home and in school, we'd be checking in. Lord, what school would you have them go to? We didn't presume because they had been in elementary here that they were supposed to go to junior high there or whatever the case may be. And we'd wait on the Lord about our kids. Then maybe after lunch, you know, we'd switch to different. Let's wait on the Lord about your speaking schedule. You know, nowadays it's also, let's wait on the Lord. Cheryl is known as the Kona coffee artist. She paints with coffee. And she's in a gallery in Kona, Hawaii. And so there's things we have to wait on the Lord about. Okay? And the way that this works is we just simply ask the Lord a question. And we're both quiet. And we can tell we're done because we're looking at each other. You know, I'm just praying. And then when I'm done, and she's done, she looks at me. And we'll say, well, what'd you get? And we'll share with each other. And if we got 2/3 of the answer, that's great. We'll celebrate that. And we'll say, well, did you get anything on this? No. Okay, let's go back to the Lord. Can I tell you there's something pretty awesome praying together with your spouse, hearing from God, and walking in unity.
So let me illustrate. So 1 year, it was our 25th anniversary, and we had gone through the list. I'm kind of the keeper of the list. I have my Mac out, and you know, I kind of check the list off, and I just write underneath what the Lord shows us, so we have a reference point to obey, okay? So we're all done. We got, like, I'm looking at the clock. We got a half an hour left before we start heading home. And so I say to Cheryl, well, we got one other thing we can wait on the Lord about, our 25th anniversary. Are we supposed to do a trip? Are we supposed to celebrate? What are we supposed to do? And Cheryl had been hinting. She'd been hinting, and she'd been saying, I think Italy would be really nice. And I'm thinking, Italy would be nice. Cha-ching, cha-ching. I don't have that cha-ching right now. But where God guides, he provides. And so both of us had the faith to, okay, well, God, what do you want to do? So we did, I said, well, let's ask the Lord. Do you know he's interested in those things in your life? He's interested in that. It's not like, I'm serving God over here. Now let me just take a vacation where I want to go. Did you know he can blow your mind? And he cares about, I mean, if he cares how many hairs I have on my head, he certainly cares about where I'm taking some time away. See, this, oftentimes hearing the voice of God has more to do what we actually believe about God's character than anything else. So Cheryl and I wait on the Lord. And as soon as I say, so Lord, our 25th is coming, it was 11 months away, all right? So our 25th is coming later this year. Lord, is there anything you want to say to us? As soon as I get that out and we get quiet, I hear the Lord say, the Caribbean. So two things happen. I'm going, okay, well, we've been there before, but maybe there's a new place. That could be fun. And secondly, you better tell her. So the next 3 minutes, I'm just praying, Jesus. And so Cheryl opens her eyes, and as she does, she looked at me, and she'd say, honey, what did you get? I said, no, what did you get? And she said, I got the Caribbean. And the Lord gave us a wonderful 25th anniversary trip. See, part of our learning to wait on the Lord is it's okay that as a husband and wife you have different opinions. But when you go before the Lord, what you do is you lay down the rights. Remember we talked about that in July, the rights to your own opinion, because together you ultimately want to obey God. And so you yield to what God's showing you, okay? And by the way, in case I don't get back to this, next to you hearing from God, the loudest voice of God in your life is your spouse, if you're married. It's not Steve Berger, it's not Dave Buring, it's not Billy Graham, it's not your favorite author. The loudest voice of the Lord in your life next to you hearing from God is your spouse. And if you have not believed that, you're off on that. You're one with that person. Guys, you need to learn to hear the word of the Lord through your wife. And it might not sound very spiritual. It might be, you need to help me more with dishes. Well, that couldn't be God. Is there anywhere in the Bible where it says God does dishes? It's not there. And ladies, same thing. If you're married and your husband says, hey, I sense from the Lord. And Cheryl and I, we know from each other, because we'll ask, is this an idea? Are you hearing something from the Lord? And if the one says, I think I'm hearing something from the Lord, we've learned to dial into each other then. Do we get it right all the time? No. But most. And so I just want to encourage you, there may need to be some on your way out to lunch today or watching the Titans game, there may need to be, honey, I need to ask you to forgive me. I really have not heard you like I've needed to, and I'm sorry. There may need to be a little of that going on. But one of the ways that God speaks is waiting on in prayer. Another that you can see here is waiting on God in prayer and fasting. All right? This is the story of Nehemiah. And if you look at that very last part that's underlined there, I'm just going to read that. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. The situation that he was in related to Jerusalem, fasting and praying. There's times that God speaks to us when we fast. That means maybe missing a meal or several. See, your fasting doesn't impress God, but what your fasting does is position your heart again to be able to hear. So that's biblical. It's another way to hear from God. When I need a big decision made, this is one of the things that Cheryl and I will do, is we'll fast and pray. We'll seek the Lord, okay? How about this one, waiting on God in worship. Do you know the whole missions movement in the New Testament started because they waited on God in worship? Look at here, Acts 13. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So five of them. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called. They fast and pray and send them out. Now, I just want you to understand, this wasn't a voice that showed up in the room. This probably worked out something like this. One of them, they're just waiting on the Lord. And one of them says, you know, I feel like there's two of you. I just keep having this impression. There's two of you we're supposed to just send out to the nations. And maybe another one goes, I think, Paul, you're one of them. And the other one says, Barnabas. And both Paul and Barnabas look at each other and go, yeah, you're right. And so they summarize it here for us. But they hear from God. Waiting on the Lord, is that a habit in your life? Do you wait on God? Very important. Let me give you a fourth one. Through the peace of God. The peace of God. Colossians 3:15 says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I love this one because the word rule here is the word we get for umpire in baseball. Safe. Out. So when you're praying about something or thinking about something, and you have no peace, I call it being fussed up on the inside, but you have no peace, God's saying, out of there, get it out of there. Cheryl and I have learned, and have God has so honored this principle in 33 years of marriage for us. If we don't have a peace about it together, we don't do it. Period. It doesn't matter how much money it makes, how great the opportunity is, what a wonderful time we'd have. If there's not peace, we don't do it. Because what it is, it's the Holy Spirit inside of you going like this, fussing you up. But you got to learn to yield to that. And some of you going, oh, I trust me, I've learned. All right? The peace of God. Let the peace of Christ be an umpire in your heart. Really key. Look at this here, this first phrase in Acts 15. A big decision they have to make about the Gentile church. And it says this, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. When you have peace, you want to have peace with God and you want to be in agreement with those that you're walking with. I love that when I'm in a meeting and I walk and say, man, it seemed right to the Holy Spirit and to us. We're in agreement in peace together. There's the couple peace or the team or the band or whatever the case may be. Walking in unity. The peace of God. See, if you're not dialed into that, you don't know that's one of the ways God speaks. Okay? We're just looking for the verbal or just from the word. Well, it's never going to contradict the word. Never, never, never contradict the word. But sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit, he gives you a peace. And there's situations that Shel and I have had to walk in at times where there's a peace. Like, let me just tell you, like when Patty Tremblay sent me a note and said, hey, Steve wanted to know if when he's in Israel, you would take these two Sundays, last Sunday, to speak. So what do I do with that? Well, first, I'm always honored to be asked. But secondly, what I do is I kind of get my radar up and I say, okay, God, am I to do this? Am I the right person for the right time? And once I feel like the Lord says yes, then I got to figure out what am I going to say? And I don't just go to my message drawer. Okay, I say, Lord, what do you want to say? And where I start is I look at what has God already been speaking to me? That's half of it. And the other half is, what do I see our precious flock needs? And somewhere, and I had several topics that for a couple days I was just weighing. And then I told Cheryl one day, I said, I know where I'm supposed to go with this. And the Lord gave a sense of peace. I sat on that for 24 hours. Peace. Okay, this is where I'm going. Okay? So just a real practical way of how that works. Fifth one, through people. Through people. I'm not going to read this text right now, but I just want you to see it. And again, you can download the notes for all this, but just with time, I'm just trying to move a little quicker here. Exodus 18. This is the place where Moses is getting worn out. He's getting pooped from having to be judging all the little decisions in Israel. And guess who God brings? Who? Father-in-law. Do you realize that sometimes God brings the word of the Lord through your father or mother-in-law? And the father-in-law gives him wise counsel and said, dude, let's break this thing down. Let these people deal with this, and then you can deal with these weightier issues. And it saved Moses. It just saved Moses. Got him focused on where he needed to be. So sometimes God will speak to us through family. Those of you that are younger, I just want to encourage you. I've watched this happen over and over. Like if you're still living under your parents' roof and your mom and dad said, you know, I really think you need to check out such and such university or such and such opportunity, don't blow it off. At least honor them Because God may speak to you through your parents. I mean, really practical. When my dad went over to Youth with a Mission when I was a junior in high school for like a 1 month leadership training thing, then my family went over for 10 days. If my dad would have never gone over there, I would have never gone there. I would have never joined YM. I would have never met Cheryl. And when I was trying to decide, I was accepting the University of Minnesota into a journalism school and go to this mission school. And they just, mom and dad, kind of framed it up for me, and I just prayed, and the Lord showed me, you know, you're to go to this mission school. That set me also on a course of meeting my wife. And so you got to understand, sometimes God uses your parents to be able to lead and to guide and to speak. He also, in Scripture, uses spiritual leaders. In Joshua chapter 1, we see Joshua, you know, telling the people what they're to be doing. And look at halfway through, and they answered Joshua, all that you've commanded us we'll do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Can I just tell you, as a guy that served as a shepherd for 3 decades plus, there's something really cool that all I can say is it's the Lord. That when you're shepherding people, and that's a role that God has you in, small group leaders, you've probably felt this too, because you're shepherding people in your small groups, your life groups, your e-groups, all right? The reality is you have an extra mantle of grace that God gives you for that person to provide counsel and wisdom to them. So when your spiritual leaders are, hey, you know what, you might want to just think about this, don't blow it off. And the third category is, you know, other believers. In Acts chapter 11, we see here, now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up in their midst and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine. The bottom line is, it says, the disciples determined everyone according to ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. So they took up an offering. God uses other believers in our lives, our friends, people maybe we don't even know. I've had lost people, so to speak the word of the Lord to me. So pay attention to those people in your life. God will use the spiritual gifts through other believers to communicate with us as well, just like Rebecca shared with us this morning, all right? All right, we good? We got six and seven here. Through circumstances. Remember we said open doors are not always doors, you know, that you go through, and closed doors aren't always doors that you walk away from. But through circumstances, look at Psalm 37. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Okay? In Acts chapter 16, check this one out. So here's Paul and his little missionary band. Check this out. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia and had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't tell us how, but somehow they knew the Holy Spirit said, that's not where you're supposed to go. To speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So it's like, wow, we're not supposed to. And sometimes maybe those were closed doors, we don't know, but the circumstances were communicating. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. Now, let me just tell you something that I've noted over the years is with circumstances, God often uses another thing, peace, the counsel of others, waiting on the Lord. So when we were trying to get Cheryl's artwork in a gallery in Kona, Hawaii, she asked me to go represent her, and I'm thinking, like, what do I know about art? But she said, you relate to people, go, just go. So I'm there representing Cheryl, and I go visit 7 galleries. And circumstantially, it whittled down to 3. And so Cheryl and I are on the phone practicing another piece of it, waiting on the Lord and peace. And sure enough, the very last one I visit is the one we landed in. And I had a sweet thing as I left the place, because when Cheryl and I are there in Kona, and we walk down the main street there, Ali'i Drive in Kona, Cheryl has said to me, wouldn't it be awesome one day if I could be in there? And the Lord even used that to just, when that door opens, like, oh, okay, here's what you're saying, here's what you're doing. So just note that when God speaks to you through circumstantial, you guys, sometimes we can be wacky on this, you know, and just some opportunity opens up, or, you know, it's raining outside and we go outside and say, it's raining. The Lord is saying he rains, you know, and we can just get a little, you know. Now, can God speak that? Yes, of course he can speak that. But what I'm saying to you is, usually with circumstances, you want to tag team it with another way that God speaks, multitude of counsel, you know, through others, peace, waiting on God, something like that. So just kind of an FYI, all right? Let me give you the last one. Through supernatural means, or in other words, any way God chooses, okay? So let me buzz you through quickly several of these. Acts 9 is the audible voice of God. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I have friends that have. I have not. But we know here in Acts chapter 9, I'm just highlighting this for you, is Saul. He's on the road to Damascus, and he hears the audible voice of God. And look at what I have underlined towards the bottom. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. They heard it as well. It was audible. Okay? But God can speak that way, because he can choose any way he wants. How about visions and dreams? We just looked at one here, the last portion where they had the vision of the man of Macedonia. But what about dreams? You know this one. Mary and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. So God can appear in a dream. He can speak to us in a dream. Visions, you know, dreams are usually sleeping. Visions, often your eyes are opened. All right, that's pretty simple. All right, you kind of see something. All right, it might be an actual moving picture. It might be, you know, something where it's kind of in your mind's eye, whatever the case may be. But I know a number of you that I've spoken to, you'd say, no, God speaks to me in pictures. See, he speaks to us all different. Some of you have running dialogue. Some of you get a word. Some of you get pictures. It's okay. Just start paying attention to it. How about angelic visitations? We see a story here in Acts chapter 12 where Peter is delivered out of prison. The angel kind of actually comes and wakes him up, and Peter later says when he came to, he kind of realized, you know, what was going on. Do you know angelic visitations are still happening today? All over the world, you hear stories of them. Let me share a story with you of a woman by the name of Rayona Peterson, now Rayona Peterson Jolie. She felt like the Holy Spirit had led her to go to the nation of Albania. In Albania, if you're a Christian, you're shot. If you're caught, you're shot. So she's this American, being an obedient, she goes to Albania, and when she gets into Albania, she declares the gospel, and sure enough, there are the police, they come and arrest her, and the last words they say to her as they close the cell is, tomorrow you will die. They'd be brought before a firing squad. So she begins to intercede and pray, God, help me, and people around the world who begin to hear about this begin to pray for her. Well, the next morning, as she's prepared her heart, here comes some people to the door. They open the prison doors. They just say, follow me. And so she thinks she's going out to be shot. But instead, she walks through these hallways, and she ends up out in the front, and a car door is open, and she's asked to get in. The driver says nothing. And they start speeding down the road, and they're going to go into another nation. You know, there's border crossings. There's things called passports and visas. This car, instead of getting in the line for passports and visa, goes out of the line and speeds right by all the cars and goes into the other country. And she's immediately thinking, my gosh, who am I with? And that happens through one other country's borders. And then when they get into that country, the car pulls up to a curb. The driver, who has not said a word, opens the door, gives her an amount, and says, this is the amount of cash you need to get on that train over there to get you over there. Shuts the door and moves on. Angelic visitation. One of the reasons we don't experience things like this is because we're not willing to obey Jesus and jump into things where maybe it requires some. Because, you know, we live in a nation where if we can't pay for it, we just pull out our Visa card. You ever thought about that? Instead of maybe saying, Lord, why are we out of money here? What are you trying to say to us? We have created our own systems of reliance instead of upon God. Just think about that one. It's an amazing thing. And then finally, you know, however God chooses, you guys know the story of the donkey speaking to Balaam. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, that was his transportation. That'd be like you being in your car and your steering wheel becoming lips. You know, and the lips saying to you, thus saith the Lord. And he beats his donkey, and finally the donkey says, look, have I ever done anything to you? No. You know, it's an amazing story. There's also a story in Daniel where when the kingdom of this king was done, all of a sudden there was a hand that appeared, I mean, just at a party, writing on the wall, basically saying, you're done. Your kingdom is finished. And it says later that he was killed that very night. So God can speak to us in any way that he chooses to. If you put up that list, you'll just see that there's seven of them here that I just wanted to highlight to you. some of the ways that God speaks, okay? You can dig out these scriptures in the notes. They're all listed in there for you in detail. Now, as I close, I want to share two things. One is, how do you test your hearing? So it's like, okay, how do I test this? So I think I heard from God, what do I do? So here's a couple things that I think may be help. First, ask this question, does it align with the scriptures? Because the Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that is not in sync with the scriptures, okay? So Bill Spencer's here. So let's just say Bill goes to the Narrow Gate guys. And Bill says, guys, you know, let's say they're planning to go on an outreach to Latin America, and there's a whole, they've been praying, and they're as a group, you know, of 25 of them going, they're still about $15,000, $16,000 short. So Bill gets him here, and he comes walking, and he's got boxes. And as he starts unpacking the boxes, people see, wow, they're black pants and shirts and masks and gloves. And Bill says, you know, I've been seeking the Lord in Wells Fargo tonight at midnight. And, you know, and the guys are going, man, these outfits are cool, Bill. But there's one godly man in their midst who stands up and says, Bill, I think this would be really fun, but the Bible says thou shalt not steal. And because Bill's such a humble man, he goes, oh, you're right, give me those costumes back, you know? And they don't do it. See, the Holy Spirit would never ask you to do something that's out of whack with Scripture. So just know that. So if you get nervous about, yeah, but what if, go to the Scriptures, okay? Secondly, does it line up with God's character and ways? Like, in other words, does it sound like God? Of what you know of his character in the scriptures, does it sound like something he would ask someone to do? That's an important one to ask, okay? Does it bear witness to you? Does it bear witness to people you walk with every day? And does it bear witness to your spiritual leaders? Those are great questions to ask. They're great questions to ask. Here's one I like. Does life, faith, hope, and courage accompany it? Those are things I look for. Like when the Lord speaks to me, we sang the song Jonathan led us in today about, you know, when the Lord speaks to me, it's like there's life. It's like there's the life, there's faith, there's hope, there's courage to take on whatever it is that may be out there. I find when God speaks to me, those are some of the things that reside in me that let me get after it, okay? And the last thing on this one, triple confirmation. I call this the three-legged stool of guidance. And that is this. Is this confirmed by the scriptures? Do I have a peace inside from the Holy Spirit about this? And thirdly, those around me that I'm walking with, are they confirming it? Usually when I have boom, 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 it's kind of like green lights, go, go, go. And so that's something that I reference a lot. Now, one piece of counsel that I'll give you is whenever you have a big decision to make, like look at, I'll tie this into this last slide, a few practical helps. Don't make it complicated. God desires to speak to you. Remember where I started with the get fuel for your home? Some of you have had that happen, and now today you're going, "That's I have that a lot. That's God." Just pause. Pay attention to it. Begin to obey it. Always allow God to speak to you in the way he chooses. Don't demand for him to tell it to you in the way you want. Because again, he always, attached to him speaking to you, he's revealing more of himself to you, and that's what he's actually excited about. How about this one? God's timing is just as important as his direction. That's a big one. The Lord spoke to Cheryl about 2.5 years before we started getting serious in our relationship that she would marry me. And because she's such a wise, godly woman, she didn't come to me and say, "The Lord spoke to me that I'm to marry you." She didn't do that. Thank God for that. Because I would have gone, "You're beautiful, but I haven't heard that before." What? See, sometimes God speaks to us and he gives it to us 5-10 years ahead of time to pray, so that by the time we get there, our prayers have paved the way. So don't assume because God speaks to you something, you're supposed to do it now. Ask him. When we have a big decision to make, here's the one thing Cheryl and I do, and we got counsel this from a guy named John Dawson, who's now the president of YM. He said this, Dave, and it has served Cheryl and I so well. So I want to tell you, whenever you have a big decision to make, like moving jobs or moving out of our area, or, you know, a big decision, we make the decision, Cheryl and I, after fasting, pray, getting counsel, all that, we'll sit down and we'll make the decision just with each other. Like it is a decision, and we will sit on it for 7 days. We'll not think about it, we'll not talk about it, but we'll just simply, when we make the decision, say, Holy Spirit, we give you the next 7 days to either reaffirm this to us or cause us to be fussed up inside if we're missing something. And then 7 days later, it's my job. I call her. So, you know, we'll sit down at night and say, honey, what'd you get? Is there anything this week? She says, if she goes, no, I just continue to feel a greater peace. So do I. Done. Then the next day I can tell the person what's going on. That is a great way to make godly decisions. Because you're hearing from God and you're giving the Holy Spirit room to fine-tune things if there's fine-tuning. Okay? If you're lost, do the last thing God showed you to do. I don't mean like if you're a lost soul. I just mean like if in your guidance, I don't know what God wants me to do. Pause and say, what's the last thing I know that God has asked me to do? It might be go make things right with your dad. It might be I want you to do this or do that. Just go do that thing, and I promise you what happens is it's like a spiritual chiropractic adjustment. God begins to rightly align you because of your obedience to him. For some of you, that might be the most important thing you heard today. Go back and do the last thing you know the Lord showed you to do. Be faithful in obedience. And the last thing here, prophetic words. Sometimes, some of you don't know what I mean by that. Sometimes someone might come up with you. Like I had someone come and share something with me today, and it was kind of a word they had. And they might just say, you know, hey, the Lord gave this to me for you. I just want to submit it to you. Listen to it. Always be grateful when someone shares a word with you. Just because it took some guts for them to even do that. So just say thank you. But then secondly, you have to weigh that thing. And say, okay, A, is that of God? And if so, is all of it or part of it something I apply now? And sometimes you leave the other part on the back burner. Because sometimes, as I see, oftentimes these will most often confirm things God's already spoken to you. I've had things where someone gave me something, and I went, boy, that piece, like a third of it was really, two-thirds, I don't know. So I don't throw it in the garbage. I literally file it. But then I put it, so to speak, on the back burner of my heart. And then when I'm making a decision 3, 4, 10 years later, and I'm doing something, the Lord brings that back and says, remember this word? I saw it coming. This is the word now to confirm this is that. Oh, awesome. So that's how you can receive and respond to those kinds of things. All right? Would you stand with me as we close? Is this helpful? So I just wanted to be really practical today. So I wanted to share the scriptures. I wanted to share some stories. And again, each one of these could be a message in and of itself. So there's a lot more there that you can dig into. But I just pray that the Lord will use this to encourage you. Let him choose how he wants to speak. You just get your antenna up and say, okay, God, help me to understand how you're speaking to me, what it is you're saying. He'll never violate the scriptures or his character, ever. But learn to pay attention to how he wants to speak to you. So Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us today. We thank you that you are indeed a God who speaks to his people and that you are a shepherd that leads your sheep. You're the holy and feared one. You're a father that loves to give us your counsel. You're a friend that walks alongside of us. And I thank you, Jesus, for the many ways in which you communicate. Just like in the world around us, how there's so many ways to communicate thoughts and ideas and impressions and all that stuff. And Lord, I would just pray that you'd take these different ways we've talked about today from the scriptures. And you would help us in each situation we're currently in, decisions that we need to make. And that, Lord, you'd allow us to leave a little more equipped in our tool belt today to take on the things that come our way this week. Jesus, teach us how to hear your voice. Can you agree with that? If you do, say amen. Let me just pray out with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, followers of Jesus said, amen. Amen. Have a good day today. God bless you.